Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Okay, hello everybody and welcome. My name is Ajahn Subharo, and we're here at the Queen's House of Retreat in Saskatoon. And it's a nice little group. I'm quite happy with the turnout. And let's do some, I'll give some meditation instruction here. And so this, these instructions come down from the Buddha. These are, you know, this is almost 2,600-year-old instructions. They're very tried and true. And they've done wonders for me. This is, I've enjoyed this meditation so much, I decided to become a monk. It was a big deal. I sort of made a vocation out of this. Okay, well, I would say try to sit straight and have a little bit of a curve in the bottom of your spine, your that kind of lumbar region, just a little bit of a curve. And I find it's easier to keep my head nice and straight above my torso. If I use my kind of rib cage muscles a little bit to also sit straight, like right at the bottom of the ribs, that kind of lower, kind of line of the ribs, those last bottom few ribs on the front. See if you can spread those muscles out just a bit. There's actually muscles there, which we may not use too often, but they're awesome for this. And I find the more I position my head above my torso, the more silent my mind becomes. It's actually easier to stay nice and peacefully calm. If my head is sort of slouching forward, I find my mind will wander a lot more. I guess it's just not comfortable that way or something. And okay, we all got no glasses on. Good. All right. And the Buddha does not require any particular hand position in your lap. But what I would say is, if you can, try to let your shoulders just kind of drape down nice and relaxed. So even though we're sitting straight, maybe not ramrod straight, but, you know, quite straight, we want to relax everything else down, especially our shoulders. Okay, and maybe just take a minute, and we're just kind of going to scan our heads for any tension. It's very easy to store tension, especially in our foreheads. Maybe just use your fingertips a little bit and rub your forehead a little bit. Just make sure that that skin is all kind of relaxed, you know, just a little massage almost. Just to test that there's no tensions there. Okay, releasing any tensions in the temples, any tensions in the cheeks. And we're going to be breathing through our nose. And if we close our mouth all the way, what happens to some people is saliva will start to collect in their mouths. And then they feel like they got to swallow every once in a while. Now, if you're one of those people, here's a neat trick. What you do is you very gently touch the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth, just behind your front teeth. Okay, you're not like pressing that spot. You're just very gently touching it. And then open your mouth like 2 millimeters. Like just barely. Just cracked open slightly. No one would even see it. And then if you breathe through your nose, you don't get this saliva collecting problem in your mouth. Okay, now as to how we're going to breathe, we want for the breath to just kind of run itself. Our body knows exactly how to regulate the breath. Might be a little more shallow, might be a little more deep. But what I would say is try to tune in to kind of your lower lungs and see if your breath is nicely filling up the lungs right down to the diaphragm. The more we use our entire lungs, the better. The more we get more oxygen into our blood, and that'll give us a little more energy. We won't be falling asleep quite so easily if we get more oxygen. So, you know, now that I've told you to just sort of breathe naturally, well, but having, you know, maybe breathe a little deeper if your lungs aren't filling right down to that diaphragm. And it's good to feel even your stomach a little bit expanding and contracting from that. Now, the Buddha does not give super duper precise instructions on just how to be mindful of the breath. But what he does repeat over and over again, especially in some very key suttas about meditating called, like especially the Satipatthana Sutta, that's one of the most famous, you know, famously referred to suttas in Theravada Buddhism. He keeps stressing over and over, mindfulness is established to the extent that one always knows whether one's breathing in shallowly. You know you're breathing in shallowly. If you're breathing deeply, you know you're breathing deeply. You just know that you're doing it. That he stresses over and over again. So it's not super duper exact quite how you breathe, but it's just that you know that you're doing it, and that's sufficient to stay in the present moment, whether it's a short breath, whether it's a long breath, etc. These are just different ways to stay in the present moment. That's really what the exercise is here. And it's okay to just experience the breath filling the lungs and the lungs kind of contracting again a bit. Just to feel your torso expanding and contracting. Or maybe your abdomen if you're breathing nicely down to the bottom of your lungs. Just to feel that. That's sufficient. The abdomen's a good one because it helps you check that you are breathing all the way down to the bottom of your lungs. So myself, that's the way that I find mindfulness of breath works the best for me is I try to have mindfulness of my whole torso, front and back. And I just comfortably, you know, I just know that I'm breathing. I can also feel the air going in and out of my nose and down my throat. It can just be a general awareness. Feel it as a holistic experience. I've read those meditation instructions over dozens and dozens of times. And the sense I came away with was that this isn't about getting all fussy and analytical about super duper laser like focus on some one thing, eh? Like, it's okay to let this just be a holistic experience. You just have to know that you're doing it so that your mind does not go wandering. We need to give the mind, you might say, some wholesome thing to pay attention to, like the breath. If we don't aim it towards that object of meditation, or some other such object of meditation which keeps us in the present, if we don't do that, the mind becomes quite quickly, shall we say, dissatisfied, and it wishes to start thinking of the future or the past or a wide variety of things, which is not just being content in the present moment. So even though we're sitting in a, you know, fairly plain and ordinary room here, we are going to do our best to just be content and peacefully enjoy the very, very basics of just being alive and breathing. We can give ourselves permission all day today to not worry about whatever's happening in our lives outside of here. Everyone who's come here today, all of you sort of made a, you know, an indication when you applied, you know, you can commit to this one day, you can set this one day aside. So I say, try to enjoy it then. Give yourself a mental holiday from your normal life. Your life will still be waiting for you at the end of the day. And it's kind of the funniest, you know, I want to just give you a little advance warning if you know, you're a little unfamiliar with this whole thing. Be prepared and expect the unexpected as to what your mind might conjure up to try to convince you to think of some other thing, not the present moment, not your breath. Okay? You'd be surprised at the creativity it's going to come up with to try to tempt you and lure you away from your object of meditation. So it's almost like a game. This almost becomes like a game. Your mind's going to come and try to trick you, lure you away from the present. And your job is to be like, oh, nice try. I knew you were going to try something like that. But no, my job is to stay with the present. Okay? So this might happen to you dozens of times all day long. Okay? Just when you thought your mind could not come up with something more tempting, oh yes, it will. Just you wait. Maybe it's something you haven't thought about in like 2 weeks, and you're like, oh, I totally have to talk to that one person though. I said I would talk to them. Oh no. Okay, well, I'm going to sneak off and use my phone. No, don't do that. Okay? If you haven't talked to that person in 2 weeks, they can wait one more day. Okay? Just say, all right, I'll talk to them tomorrow or tonight or whatever, but just not today. There is no fire, okay? There is no emergency. The mind will try to talk you into it that there is an emergency. But keep, you know, it's almost like a pushy salesman, you know, who wants to sell you something very aggressively, and you're like, no, leave me alone. I'm just going to do this thing. I'm concerned with here, my object of meditation. And if you haven't been doing much meditation, what is so kind of... There's a tremendous amount of insight we can gain from practicing on a day like today. There's a lot of insight around like, wow, my mind is really kind of spoiled in the sense of it always gets its way, you know? I'm so accustomed to just sort of giving in to whatever my mind wants to think about. On any given day, you know, which isn't today, the mind might range over a wide variety of all sorts of ideas and plans and fantasies, and we usually just abandon ourselves to it thinking, well, it's my mind though, like I get to think about whatever I want. Of course I would, you know. If some sensual fantasy pops in my mind, of course I would think about it. That's like fun, you know. But I'm inviting us all today to have a bit of a different perspective. It's sort of like, yes, we have a mind. Yes, thinking pops into our mind. But that's not who we are. Those are just thoughts. Those are just echoes of what happened in the past. Those are just like conjecturings about what might happen in the future based on the past. Really, it's just a function of the mind that all these thoughts pop in our head. But that's not who we are. Those are just passing thoughts. Okay, so we're trying to depersonalize that. It feels very subjective, doesn't it? It feels like whatever thought pops in your head, that's you. And you're the one thinking it. You're the one who's in the driver's seat, you know, as the owner and controller of it. And it's you. But I'm saying, let's just try to cool things off a few notches mentally here. And don't identify with those thoughts. Those thoughts are not you. They're not who you are. Try to see them in a depersonalized way. It's just something happening to you. Just like if the room was too hot or too cold, it's, you know, the hot or the cold is just something happening to you. It's just a condition happening to you. Interestingly, in Buddhism, we don't have the normal five senses that people would think about. Like normally people would list their senses as being sight, smell, hearing, tasting, and touching, the five senses. But in Buddhism, we have a sixth sense. Thinking itself is the sixth sense. It's just another sensory, you know, input, as it were. Just like a smell might come to your nose, or a sound might come to your ears. In Buddhism, the thoughts that pop in your head, those are just something coming to the sense door of your mind, a thought. It's just like a smell or something. It's just like a sound. Or a sight. It's just it's a sensory event, is what it is. And Buddhism makes a big deal about try to depersonalize that. Because that is very, very mentally skillful to have more of a choice over whether we will think a thought or not. If we have a highly strongly identified sense like, you know, our thoughts are us, we are, you know, we are the thoughts. We are the thinker. When you have a strong sense of identity, it's just with that, it's pretty much impossible to not think the thoughts when they come. But if we can depersonalize that, we give ourselves more of an, we have the power to choose more whether we'll think those thoughts or not. Sometimes you do want to think the thoughts when they come. They're good ones. But oftentimes, they actually are not helpful. They're not really profitable to think or beneficial to think. A lot of our thoughts are just mental churning, you know, just for the sake of churning. It's just a habitual thing. And it actually kind of taxes us when we do a bunch of unnecessary thinking. It actually runs down our energy to think excessively. It actually can tire us out. The more we train our minds to have more of that spaciousness of mind and choice over whether to think these thoughts or not, the more efficient our minds become, the more energy we have, and the more opportunity we have to maybe choose better things to think about, or just nothing if there's nothing to think about. Nothing is the best of them all. To just have a clear mind, to just enjoy life. Why do we have to always be thinking of stuff all the time? Why can't we just enjoy? Enjoy the present, enjoy the day, enjoy the weather, enjoy people, you know, being around us, our friends, family, you know, people who matter. Why can't we enjoy that more? Just the relationships and just living a decent, wholesome life can be so much more rich and enjoyable if we are present for it. This is about improving our lives this way. It's a training. Okay, so we're going to do some of that training today. It's like you've all agreed to come to the gym, but we're not going to pump weights. We're not going to do push-ups, but we are going to do mental push-ups here. Okay, we're going to keep bringing our minds back to the object of meditation. And every time you do that, that was a push-up, so to speak. That was one little, you know, action towards conditioning our minds to be more wieldy and better trained to stay in the present. Try to think of it that way. This is a training. This is a form of exercise, you know, and it's very good for us. Okay, so I'm going to, so for the next, we're going to do about an hour of meditating, right till 10:15. And I'll ding the bell after the hour. Now, if you're feeling kind of low energy, or I don't know, you're just not, it's feeling too uncomfortable somehow, you do have the option to go outside. And when you walk out the doors of this room, just turn to the right, and there's a door to the outside. And Marty put some tape over the door, right? So, yeah, it won't lock behind you over the latch. And there's nice grounds outside. Please explore. And but try not to fixate on, like, statues and art and birds and squirrels and stuff. Don't fixate on that. This is not about bird watching or kind of like, you know, any kind of watching. This is about meditating. And I'm going to suggest how you can do walking meditation is you pick a nice solitary spot, best you can, and have it be level. And just pace back and forth about 24 paces at a natural pace. And try to feel your whole body just walking naturally. And it is sufficient to just know that you are walking. Your body knows exactly how to walk, okay? You've done it so often, it can just basically walk on autopilot. Just make sure you don't trip over anything, you know? But other than that, let it be autopilot. But you know that you're doing it. You're almost like a separated observer from the act of walking. And just know that you're doing it. What does it feel like? Try to feel your entire body as it moves. You don't need to be controlling. Your body will walk very gracefully if you just let it. Your body knows what to do. Let it do the graceful walking it knows how to do. And that's sufficient. Be mindful of that. Give yourself permission. Walking can be this simple. And give yourself permission. You don't need to think about anything at the same time. You don't have to make plans at the same time. Walking itself can be entirely the task you are doing. And when you're very sensitive to how it feels, that will completely fill up your awareness. Okay? Whether we're being mindful of our breath as we sit, or whether you're aware of your body as you walk outside, try to have a rich, full awareness of it. And try to be sensitive and let that experience utterly fill your mind. You want to have 100% of your attention filled up by what you're observing, whether it's the breath or the body. And if you can do that, if you can be fully present, fully aware, your mind will hardly wander at all. Because where's the spare capacity for any thoughts to occupy? If you're richly inhabiting the present with your sensitivity to the object of meditation. Okay, so it's like you're kind of like crowding out any thoughts because you're so sensitive to the present. Don't give your mind a chance to go wandering away if you deny it any capacity to do that, because you're so engrossed and enthralled even by your own breath, how it feels, or your own body, how it feels. And you have some, shall we say, creative license as to how you're going to attend to your breath or your body, or even both. You can combine them both. When I'm aware of my breath, I'm also aware of my torso expanding, contracting. So that's also my body. You can play with this. When I'm aware of my breath, I can also feel my legs and arms, okay? The whole rest of my body, which happens to be breathing in and out. Okay, you want to just pick the right amount of stuff to pay attention to here, such that your mind is nicely occupied. You're not giving it too much work to do so that it feels like kind of unrealistic or even like too difficult. Nor are we doing something a little too easy, too simple. Like if you just only had awareness on the tip of your nose, let's say. If that only took 10% of your brain power to pay attention to that, guess what the other 90% of your brain's going to do? It's going to go wandering. The other 90% of your brain's like, I need something to do. I'm bored. And it'll start wandering, okay? Don't just have mindfulness on something too easy. You gotta play with this a bit. You gotta sort of give yourself the right workload almost, eh? The right workload to keep it nicely occupied and comfortable. And it should even feel peaceful if you do this right. It should feel like downright enjoyable. Then the work becomes all the easier when we're enjoying it. All right, so that's what we're kind of hoping to find, is can we find a place where this is enjoyable and comfortable and easy? And we stay in the present. Just know that you are breathing. Just know that you are walking. Just know that you have a body, which has nerves right from your head to your toes, what would those nerves tell you if you were to listen to what they're saying? Just tune in. Be sensitive. Be curious. Okay? All right, so let's start. And I'll ding the bell at 10:15. And you know what? I might even go and do walking meditation. If I go do walking meditation, you know, I'm also entitled to do that. So, but I'll be back in time to ding the bell. Okay, I hope you enjoy this.